Not so cold today, I said.
No, it's better today than it's been.
Right. Okay, so we're up to page 9 over here. I guess just to review what we're up to and what he's in the middle of. So we're in a piece about Midas HaRachamim was the main topic over here. And we got off into Perek Rishon, which speaks about Zechus Avos. And what exactly is the meaning that we have Zechus for being the children of the Avos and Imahos? And he had 4 questions to review them quickly. One question was, if you're in a courtroom and the judge favors one person over the other because he knows that person's a father, that's a corrupt judge, how could Hashem act in that way? It's not tzedek, it's not yashrus, it's not appropriate. Number 2 is that there's a law in the Torah, losat mishpa. You're not allowed to tilt the scales of justice in favor of somebody. If MS dictates this is the din, you have to go with it. So how could Zechus Avos even help us? Number 3 was Hashem is totally MS, and therefore usually MS and rachamim don't really match. If it's rachamim, it doesn't mean it's not true, it's not earned. And if it's MS, then there's no rachamim involved. So where does that all fit in? And number 4 was, how do we understand the idea that Zechus Avos has its levels and has times where it's no longer relevant? If it's a zechus we have from our ancestors, it should stick with us. And if not, then not. How does it like deplete or dwindle? What does that mean exactly? So those are the 4 questions. He went off then into a tangent about how to deal with questions in general in Yiddishkeit. What's the approach to having a question? Where does our amunah kick in? Where do questions have a place? And basically, we discussed how questions, on the one hand, are important to discuss. On the other hand, a question, we always have to realize we have a question that our minds are limited and our understanding is limited. And just because we don't have the answer to a question doesn't mean anything about Emunah or about the Torah. It means that we are just shorthanded in terms of figuring out the answers. That's all it means. So that's what we had last week. Now moving to, we're on the bottom paragraph of page 9. He now says, Avo mamu sharon anu, but we are so fortunate. Ashreinu matoch chalkeinu manayim garaleinu, kizichanu Hashem mechol tov v'ligvu. So Hashem has given us so much goodness, v'itin lanos rabbosin ha-kadoshim, and we, Baruch Hashem, are zoche to having great chachamim. We have the rabbis of the Gemara, Chazal, we have great gedolim, and we get answers. Meaning, again, the questions may not always have answers, but usually our questions do have answers as long as we know where to look. Asher baruchav binasam yadu harbi me'od. Our chachamim, because of their great knowledge, knew a tremendous amount. And in their goodness, they have given over to us the chance to taste some of the great wisdom which they have. They reveal to us these incredible secrets of Torah, the depth of Chachma, and the aura they give us, the light they give us, is a great light. So now we can sort of flip over the discussion. So questions don't always have answers, but Baruch Hashem, we have answers. And the truth is, usually you could find answers. If you know where to look, the right people to ask, or take time to research yourself, we have, Baruch Hashem, many, many answers to many, many questions. When we look carefully into the words of Chazal, everything is clear. Hakol nachon, everything is correct. Hakol muvan, it's all understood. Hakol meduktak, betachlas dikduk, everything is precise and accurate. Kiroi l'emes agamer, as truth should be. So when you get to the answer, and then you look back at the question, which was such a difficult question, and the question's gone. You say, was that really a question? I have an answer now, and it makes so much sense. And that should be the reaction to a good answer, is that now the question is not a problem anymore. I get it. It was just a mistake I was making, and not a kasha. It's true with any question we have, if we work we toil, work hard understanding the words of the rabbis, we can understand the explanation. There are times where we will not understand the words of the rabbis. No, we don't always have even the answer to a Gemara or a Medrash. We have to realize it's all because of us, not because the Gemara is wrong, or the Chazal are wrong, or Chas Shalom the Pasuk is wrong. It's because we are just coming short in understanding it. The flaw is on our end, not on the Torah's end. But yet, sometimes just one part can testify to the rest, meaning that when we see so much wisdom in the Torah, and we see so many answers which are actually there, so even the parts that seem to us a little strange, we don't quite get them, we know that there must be deep wisdom there as well. I mean, when we learn, 90% of the time, what we learn is giving us tremendous wisdom. And 10%, we don't quite get it. So the 90% tells us that 10% also is full of wisdom, we just don't quite get it yet. We're falling short. And we know that there's a clarity in our learning until we have no doubts in much of it. So therefore, in the areas that we don't understand, so then we have to realize that the questions that we have in other areas also are not big questions. We don't have the answers yet. Because most of what we ask, we do have answers to. And the more that we grow in our own personal avodas Hashem and in Kedusha, we will find that each point is clarified. Hashem, yeah, Noah Be'ezrinu. So it's a very important thought process to have, which is number one, we shouldn't judge the parts of Torah which we don't understand because we don't get them, because really we understand so much of it, and so much of it has so much meaning to us if there are those things we don't quite get. So the Rov should reflect upon the Mi'ut. The majority that we do understand should reflect upon that which we don't understand. That's number one. Number two, he says here a very important point. He says, as we grow in Torah and Kedusha, as we grow as people, as we grow in life, so then things become more clear. And that's a point which many Bali Musar make, Bali Machshava make. There's things that you might have read 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, 40 years ago, etc., which didn't make sense. Now, as life goes on, as you grow and experience more in life, you then come back to them and they make sense to you. So the idea being that life experience and growth as Jews reflects upon our understanding of Torah. And those areas of Chazal, or those Midrashim, or those Psukim, which didn't make sense to us before, as we grow, at a certain point, they do make sense to us. Rav Volba says that when it comes to learning the sections of Torah which are Agarata, the parts which are not focused on Halacha, parts focused on Hashkafa, Musar, he says, often the way to understand them is not by sitting there and analyzing and asking questions, and you know, as you would with the halacha or with the gemara. He says, what you would do is, sometimes you have to just live with them a little bit. File them away in your mental filing cabinet, live a little more life, and then eventually they click in, because with life experience we understand them. And that's what Rav Dess was saying as well. Sometimes with our growth in Torah and Kedusha, as we grow as Jews, so then these things do make sense to us, even though they may not have, you know, earlier in our lives. So it's a very important point. But he's giving us the overall approach to even answers. And we have answers to a lot of things, and therefore those answers, the fact we have so many answers, that should reflect upon the parts that are still difficult to us. Let's see further. So now we're going to actually get to the answers. That was all an introduction to answering the questions. So he says, but Baruch Hashem, I'm so fortunate that I have answers this time. So after all that, I do have answers to these questions. Hashem gave me the schus to have answers. The Yosem is, and furthermore, I have more than the answers. I have new things to share based on the questions. These words will teach us a way to enlighten us. This will help us answer more questions. I mean, we asked four questions. We'll answer those, and plus now we'll have tools to answer even more questions because of what we're going to explain. Dvarim Nifloim Hema, we're going to explain something which is amazing. Matsasim Bekisvei HaKodesh Shel Marna Rabbeinu Chaim Evelajin. I found it in the writings of Chaim Evelajin. Tamiru Amuvak Shel Agra, who was the main student of the Vilna Gaon. Chaim Evelajin was the one who wrote the famous Nefesh HaChaim, Ruach Chaim. He was the Vilna Gaon's biggest Talmud. And he was, as it says, he was the founder of Yeshiva Volozhin. So that was Rav Chaim of Volozhin. Ve'ilu dvarav v'sifro haram v'nisa Ruach Chaim al Avos. So we're going to share now a quote from his sefer he wrote in Pirkei Avos called Ruach Chaim. Ruach Chaim is his peirush in Pirkei Avos, and in there he says what Rav Dessler calls an incredible point. And it's going to be a short point. Rav Dessler is going to elaborate on it for a while to really understand what it means. So here's the point. It says the following: Mishalich betumot tzaddik. Ashrei Bon of Acharav. The pasuk says in Mishle that a tzaddik walks in his perfection. Ashrei Bon of Acharav. Fortunate are his children after him. So I guess the simple meaning of the pasuk would be that if you have a father who's a tzaddik, you're very fortunate. Someone to learn from, someone to emulate, someone to speak to and advise you. It's a very fortunate thing to have a father who's a tzaddik. But Rav Chaim Volozhin says a much deeper point. Haloza Asher Sha'anu Alav. So Rav Dessler inserts over here that this pasuk is the issue we're talking about. Why would the children get benefits from their father's tzidkus? I mean, the pasuk is saying the father's a tzaddik and fortunate are the children. So how does a child benefit from their father's tzidkus? Again, there's the simple understanding because they have a great person to look up to and advise them, but there's a deeper point here as well. So Rav Chaim Volozhin says the following. Ki kama midos she tzaddik torach v'yaga le'asigam. The midos that a tzaddik puts effort into, works hard, toils to achieve, levan of achrav hema kmoteva mutba, they become natural to his descendants. V'ktsas yigia yagiu lazeh, and with just a little bit of work, they can obtain these midos. So he's going to elaborate a lot on this. Let's just maybe just paint the picture for a second. He's saying it's not just the fact that your father is tzaddik, so he's inspiring to you, or you are using him as a role model. He's saying that similar to physical DNA, we know that parents have genes which go into the children. You might have red hair, you might have blue eyes, maybe you're taller, maybe you're shorter, more athletic, less athletic. These things might go through the genes. And then that's physical, that's based on, that's based on science. But beyond that, there's midos that get passed down. And we experience this. We do often see families where we find that the parents and the children and the grandchildren seem to share some more midos. And I don't know what scientists say about that being passed on through DNA, I'm not sure. But what Rav Chaim Volozhin is saying is that if a person works very hard perfecting a midah, that becomes ingrained in the person. And that becomes part of who they are. And it's in their bones, in their genes. So their children benefit from that work, and their children also now are predisposed to having that good midah. So we have to be very careful in reading this. It doesn't say it's automatic in the child, because the child can reach it much more easily. I mean, we certainly find children of tzaddikim who aren't tzaddikim. We find that. Find people whose parents might be very, very generous, and they're stingy. We find that children always follow the news of parents. But Rav Chaim's point is not that it's automatic, but it's that if the child wants to achieve that same exact level in Avos Hashem, it's much easier for them than it would have been for the parent who had to work at it the first time, with a lot of effort and a lot of struggle. That's Rav Chaim's point. But when we struggle hard and we're able to accomplish something in Avos Hashem, that becomes who we are. It goes into our blood and into our bones and gets passed on to our children. So that is that's Rav Chaim's point, and we're going to explain this a lot more. But it's a very significant point. So he says, So Dessler says, well, seemingly these words are obvious. Someone who's reading Nefesh Ruach Chaim on Avos may just pass right over these words and not think about them. Ach lo kenhu yikirai. He says, my dear friends, this is not true. Dvarim halalu omdim rumsh olam. These words stand the heights of the world. These are very significant words. Mazehu, and this is the pshat. Kvar yadanu ki kol adam b'chol matzav shihiya hu ba'al bechira. We already know that a person has bechira. One of the foundations of Yiddishkeit is that people have bechira. We can make choices. Bechirasto tam v'nekuda achas asher bahu ki mistapik v'nekudas ha'mishkol. And this is Rav Dessler, one of his most famous points, which we'll see more in depth as we go through the Sefer. Dessler has a point called the nekudas ha'bechira, which I'm sure many have heard of before. Nekudas ha'bechira means that where we fight our battle in making choices in life is really in one very limited arena. There's things in life which we don't struggle with. Baruch Hashem, none of us today woke up with a struggle. Should I murder today or not? Murder or not murder? Murder or not? We didn't deal with it. It's a mitzvah to turn out to murder. And yeah, we have free choice. We could go ahead and murder Chas V'Shalom, but it's not a struggle that we're doing. We're past that. That's not who we are. On the other hand, most of us didn't wake up today and say, should I fast all day and say Tehillim for 8 hours today, or Tehillim for 7 hours? What should I do? Answer is no. You know, maybe set some Tehillim, maybe not. But we're not at a level where we spend 8 hours of saying Tehillim and fasting. That's not who we are either. That's beyond us. That's not a level that we're dealing with either. So what are our struggles? It's going to be, you know, davening with kavana, lashon hara, you know, not getting upset with someone who angers us, things that are more within our arena. Those are the typical struggles we have. That's called the nekrusa bechira. That's the area in which you're actually exercising choice. I'm not choosing not to murder now. There's no murder. It's not a choice I'm making. It's not a proactive decision. I'm also not choosing not to sit till 8 hours straight in the day. It's also not a proactive decision. What I'm choosing is, you know, shall I open my mouth and share lashon hara or not? Should I try to buckle down and focus on my davening today or not? So, you know, those are the things that we're struggling with and we deal with on a daily basis, and that's what nekrusa bechira. So Dessler, we'll see this much more, he elaborates on this much more later on in the Sefer. But the point he's bringing up now is that everybody has their realm of struggle. But things that are beyond your point of Bechira, or below it, that's not your issue, that's not your struggle. This is above or below your Nekrusa Bechira. The more a person grows in Avodas Hashem, as Nekudas Bechirasu Tis'ala. So your place of Bechira grows with you. So, you know, many Gedolim and great people, they started off with our struggles, and they conquered those struggles, and they moved past, and now dealing with much more refined and deeper struggles. But everybody has to be able to, it's, you know, the mashal that Rav Dessler gives is that you picture an army at war. So there's land already conquered, there's land, there's enemy territory they haven't conquered yet, and then there's where they're fighting the battle. So as you progress, you know, you defeat the, you know, you move the battle line further. So now I conquered this area now. Now this is no longer a struggle for me, but now I'm fighting a new struggle. And so you have people, you know, the Chafetz Chaim is fighting his struggles, and we're fighting our struggles, and he's moved the battle line further on. Everyone has their struggles they're fighting. If somebody chas v'shalom goes down in the Rosh Hashem, has a Yerida, backtracks, then also the Nekrusa Bechira can backtrack. Somebody who never ever struggled with Gezela, they could end up struggling with Gezela if their spiritual level goes down. If they make the wrong choices and they keep losing the battles, they can end up struggling with things they never dreamed they struggled with before. L'mashal, L'mayla Mechir Seinuhu, it's above our Bechira right now, based on our current madriga, to fast and daven to Hashem, to forgive moments of bittul Torah. Now, speaking to yeshiva bachrim and men, who, you know, they're supposed to be filling their time with Torah. So we know that the Chofetz Chaim would say, the Vilna Gaon, they'd be able to track every moment of their day. Did I have an extra 30 seconds I couldn't learn and I wasn't learning in? And if they didn't learn that extra 30 seconds, they would do tshuva for it. Because 30 seconds of Torah that I missed. Most people are not on that level. We're not tracking minutes or seconds. We're okay, hopefully I put in some time in learning in the day. But it's not a bechira that we have. We're not struggling with, you know, shall I fast today and daven for kapara on the fact that I missed 2 minutes of learning Torah today. That's not where most men are holding. It's also below us. None of us are struggling with smoking on Shabbos, we hope. People who are Shomer Shabbos, usually smoking on Shabbos is not going to be our struggle. We're Shomer Shabbos. That's not going to come and entice me. So there might be finer halachas of Shabbos that do entice us, but to get out, to take a cigarette and light it up and smoke, even if you're a smoker, that's usually not a struggle if you're really Shomer Shabbos. So that's below us. So, but there's an akuda that we do choose in the middle. I just want to share an important point related from last week's parsha. It's actually Rav Dessler's point as well. In last week's parsha, so we have Lot escaped from Sodom, and the pasuk says that Hashem remembered Lot because of Avraham, etc. So Rashi says, what was Lot's big schus to be saved? Why was Lot saved from Sodom? Now, if you read the parsha, you think, well, look what Lot did. Lot was moser nefesh for chesed. He risked his life to take in guests and care for them. And we see the whole city comes to his door and tries to knock down the door and pull out the guests and put Lot to kill them. So Lot's chesed was incredible. Chazal tells us Lot's daughter was killed because she did chesed in stone. So Lot's family were bali chesed to an extreme, like Avraham Avinu. So you would think that's Lot's great schus. That's what you would think. But Rashi says, no, that wasn't a schus. What was Lot's great schus? When Avraham and Sarah went to Mitzrayim, and Avraham said that Sarah is my sister, Lot didn't spill the beans. That's what Rashi says. Luke could have said, no, Avram's lying, this is his wife, he's tricking you. He didn't say anything. And that was his big schus. So Rav Dessler and others asked the question, what's the big deal? I mean, not telling secrets seems to be like, you know, in second grade, tell a secret, I don't know a secret. Like, that's, so he didn't tell the secret. But risking your life for chesed is a pretty big deal. So why do we disregard his risking his life for chesed? And we praise him and give him a tremendous schus for not sharing the secret of Mitzrayim. That's the question. So Rav Dessler says from this, he says, you see a tremendous point in what gives a person schus. Things that are natural to us, things that we don't struggle with, things that are just, you know, part of who we are, what we do, those don't give us tremendous schus. Lo grew up in Avram's house. For Lo, chesed was just what you do. It wasn't a struggle, it wasn't a decision. This is how you act. This is what people do. You do chesed. You're risking your life? Okay, that's what you do. This is what I'm a Talmud Avraham Avinu. This is what I'm supposed to do. And it wasn't a struggle we had at this point. What was Lot's big struggle? Lot's struggle with money. We see Lot was drawn to Sodom because he saw he was seeing dollar signs in front of his eyes. You know, this is a place where I can go and make lots of money. When Lot's being pulled out of Sodom before it gets destroyed, Vayismamai delays, Rashi says, to save his money. Lot struggled with Chemdas Mamun. So when Lot was in Mitzrayim with Avraham, had he turned in Avraham, Avraham would have been killed, and who would have gotten all the money? Lot would have gotten all the money. So Lot there was struggling with his Chemdas Mamun. I could turn in Avraham and take all of the wealth, the power offered Avraham, or I can stay quiet and do the right thing. So that was a real struggle within. That was his exercising Bechira there. It was an Akusa Bechira. He was right there at the moment struggling. He was able to control himself. He didn't say anything. And that gave him a tremendous chus. But when Lot was doing chesed, it wasn't a struggle for him. It wasn't a question in his mind. It wasn't like, should I do it? Should I not? Of course you do chesed. I'm Avraham's Talmud. That's my chinuch. That's who I am. So that's what it says. Things that are just built within you from your own chinuch, things that are natural to you, that's not where you get the big chus. What that does is that advances your inclusive bechira to give you, you know, more refined battles to fight. But what gives you the big schus, or when you do fight a real battle that gives you a struggle, and you have to make a decision, a real decision, and you decide to do right, that gives you a tremendous schus. So it's all about where that Kruzah Bechira lies. And things that are just natural to who we are, that's not a Kruzah Bechira. You know, somebody who's very, very, you know, even-keeled, and someone angers them, and they don't get angry, we don't say, wow, that person's amazing, they don't get angry. We say, that person never gets angry. The person's just relaxed, and nothing bothers them. They're very laid back, very chilled, But if somebody you know has a terrible temper, and then someone does something to them, and you see them, like, you know, sneaking out, but they hold back, you say, wow, that person really struggled and controlled themselves. And that's very impressive to us. So that's how Hashem looks at us as well. You know, where are we struggling and holding back? And which things are easy for us? Things that are easy for us are not where we get the big credit in Shemayim. We get schar for everything. We get schar for that as well. But the major schus, the schus which was going to save Lot from Sodom, comes from overcoming a struggle, whereas Nekrusa Bechira lied. It doesn't come from doing something which is easy for him based on the chinuch which he received as a child in Avram's house. So that kind of paints the picture of Nekrusa Bechira. So that's what continues here. V'hine, ha'avos hema lo yuchu levchor ba'ab b'nehem. Parents can't choose for their children. Ki kol mochel atzmo. No, the children also can make their own choices. Bechir, everyone has free choice. Ava madrigas nekudas bechira tevel adam avosav mechanchav. But what's the default setting of your Nekrusa Bechira? That does come from your ancestors and from your teachers. A child is born into a family. Let's take a few extreme examples for a second. Let's say a child is born into a very from Hasidic family, where everyone's learning Torah all day long. They're going to the mikveh every single day. Everyone's davening. Everyone's saying Tehillim. Everyone's doing Chesed, and that's the whole world they know. So when this child gets older, it's not a choice. Should I go to the mikveh this morning or not? Should I daven three times a day or not? They could fall off of that. But the natural default setting is that, no, they already have all these things in place. They're dealing with other struggles. Take someone who's born, let's say, into a non-religious family in a town that has no Jewish community. So they're born into a family that eats treif, is mechallel Shabbos, doesn't even know what Yom Kippur is. You know, so then what is that person struggling with? Very different things. We can't expect them to have the same struggles. These are default settings that are built into life based on their background. And then he takes it further, also based on your chinuch as well. If your chinuch is one way, you know, people can be born in similar families, but then they're sent to different schools and taught different things. So then certain things are natural and expected, certain things aren't, based on community, based on schooling. And their Nakusa Bechira will end up being somewhere different, even, you know, at age 5 or age 10, even when they're young, because that's just part of the upbringing which is there. So what parents do is they're able to set the Nakusa Bechira for their children. Meaning every child, they're going to have their default setting of where they're struggling based on their family situation. And that also comes, I would say, with in terms of the genes. You know, we said the midos, we'll talk more about it, midos get passed down, and therefore those midos also set them off in a certain default of which midos are struggles and which midos are natural. He says further, but we do find that children of tzaddikim could be rishayim. Not every child of a tzaddik remains a tzaddik. We find sometimes, unfortunately, people will have parents who are tzaddikim, and the kids are not quite like that. That's because they made their own choices. The parents didn't make the choices for them. The kids made, and they can make their own choices. We read it with Madrigas Bechirasam, and they kept lowering down their Nekudas Bechira, Mizos Asher in Chilom Aviyam Atzadik, from that which they started with. At Chilas Bechirasam Haisa Menekud Asher in Chinulahem Avoseyam, but yet their starting point was the place that they're born into. That was their starting point. And beyond that, not only is it just the background, but parents pass on their midos and their ruach to their children. You know, attitudes, midos develop, that gets passed on to children. So now we understand that there's something beyond just a parent being an inspiring role model to a child, but there's actually things that are passed down, not just in the environment, but in the blood, which therefore leave the child in a natural state in terms of when the child is born, and the child then either pushes that further or Chas Shalom falls backwards, but they're born into that natural place where they're making choices. So let's see how far reaching this is. Rav Chaim adds in the following point. We find that many Jews who are called them Amaratzim, they're not so religious, not so devoted, not so careful with mitzvos and halacha, they give their lives to Kiddush Hashem. We've seen this history, unfortunately, we've seen it in history probably millions of times. The Jews who were not all that religious in their lifetime, when it came down to choose the cross, or we're going to kill you, would be killed. That's what's happened, and unfortunately still happens. From Mitba Banu Me'avram, where does that come from? How is a Jew who's not that careful in their lifetime about mitzvos, is not a big maimon, isn't so religious, but when it comes down to it, they say, I'm going to give my life for Judaism. Where does that mita come from? It comes from Avraham Avinu. It's in the blood of a Jew. It's from Avraham Avinu, Shemasar Nafshu Lu'or Kastim Amunaso. Avraham Avinu, when he was Moser Nefesh, was thrown into the fiery furnace by Nimrod for believing in Hashem, he put into the genes of Klal Yisrael that mita. The reason that we call the Avos, it says in the Gemara, Ein Avos Avos Shlosha. There's only three Avos. Ein Avos Avos Shlosha. Only four Imahos. So the Gemara is giving us that only seven people are defined as Avos and Imahos. Why? Because they set into place the DNA of Klal Yisrael. What it means to be a Jew, in terms of our natural inborn midos that apply to every single Jew in the world, that is a Yerusha from the Avos and Imahos. Now, families can add in more to that. If you know, the more the families themselves and people, individuals, as we've said, grow and work on themselves, they can insert into their own personal family new midos. But there's standard midos that are given to every single Jew, and those are Yerusha from Avos and Imahos. That's why they're considered the fathers and the mothers. That's why, because fathers and mothers pass on DNA, and they pass on to us spiritual DNA. And every single Jew, even a ger, is Ben Avraham Avinu, or Basari Menu. Because the ger also is zocha to the traits that the Avos and Imahos placed into Klal Yisrael. That is the basic makeup of a Jew, is based on what the Avos and Imahos did, based on their avoda, and their avoda changed around all their descendants for all history. So you have this idea that you find these Jews, who even though they're not religious, will give their lives to Kiddush Hashem. Now the Baal HaTanya says a very similar point, and he shows that's the proof for us that every single Jew has inside of them this pintel yid, this pure neshama, because where's it coming from? The person was mechal Shabbos and ate treif, and you know, they didn't care about mitzvahs in their lifetime, and suddenly when it came down to give your life or convert, they gave their lives. Where does it come from? It's because inside every single Jew there's a pure neshama, which is there and hasn't been tainted by everything that Jew did. And when they're hit, you know, in that deep place, it reacts. Maniflahu, it's an incredible thing. Koch mesiras nefesh bad ruchnius, that someone can give their life for spirituality, bad Hashem, for Hashem, bad varm sheitzer menagid lehem, for things that the Yitzhar opposes them. Ich efshesh adam pashit, how could a simple person, shlegia o the madregos ramos, that never achieved many great spiritual levels in his lifetime, yimsor nafsho, can give his or her life, gam yakalo davarzeh, it should be easy for them. How could that be? That's Yerusha from Avraham Avinu. That's how we understand it. It's a very important point, and it's an incredible thing historically. Why it's been that way, but it has been that way. And it's because it's just natural to a Jew that this is who we are and this is what we do. Nir lahalon, v'chein kol asara nesionos hayla haishir aderech lefaneinu. So now let's understand. It's very appropriate for the parshas we've been reading recently. That all of Avram's 10 tests, they were to pave the path for us. I mean, in last week's Parsha Vayera, so one of the big questions that Rishonim deal with, it says, Hashem nisas Avram, Hashem tested Avram Avinu. So all Rishonim deal with, what's the point of a test from Hashem? And the famous question is, Hashem knows the results. What does Hashem have to test you for? Teachers test students because teachers want to gauge, you know, where is the student holding in class? Does the student understand, not understand? Am I teaching well, not teaching well? So you have to test the student to see if they know material. Hashem knows what Avraham knows and what Avraham can do. Hashem doesn't need to test Avraham to know what the results are. So what's the point of the test? So there's many answers given. One of those famous answers the Ramban talks about, that every test is Tovas Hamanusa. Every test is for the good of the one being tested, because Hashem wants you to bring out into reality things that are merely potential within you. Meaning Hashem knew Avraham was great in potential, but Avraham hadn't yet actually brought that out into reality. And when you're put to the test, you're taking what's in potential and bringing it to reality. That's one answer to the question. Many answers are given. But what Rav Dessler is pointing out here is that one idea of Avraham being tested is that he had to bring out to the world these accomplishments, because these ingrained them into his genes, into his person, and therefore every accomplishment made by Avraham Avinu when he was being tested is passed on to Klal Yisrael for the rest of history. And that was the point of these tests. So let's think about it. So Avraham had to do Lech Lecha. He had to drop everything, leave his comforts of his home, leave his family, and go to Yisrael. We find Jews who do the same thing this very day. You know, they get this tremendous passion, I want to move to Eretz Yisrael, and they leave behind everything that they're used to. You know, a person's living in America for 60 years, and they have this deep desire, I have to go to Eretz Yisrael. You know, come back, my family's here, my kids are here, my grandkids are here, I had a job here, I have friends here, my home has been here for 60 years. And they drop it all and move to Eretz Yisrael, just, you know, because they have this draw, this magnetic pull. So some will say, well, Eretz Yisrael pulls you, which could be true. But beyond that, being able to do such a thing is a koach from Avraham Avinu, because Avraham did it. So if Avraham did it, then we can do it. So that's one point being made. Uve emes, maniflu, it's an amazing thing. Zal paim shana shigilinu meretzina, we've been in Galus for 2,000 years. Vech nishira avasa bilibenu, why is the love of Eretz Yisrael still in our hearts? No, it's no other nation, or no other human being even is aware where their family was 2,000 years ago. They don't even know. If they did, they wouldn't really care. Most people don't care where their grandparents were, you know, 50 years ago. You know, then now they're Americans, and forget the fact that grandparents came from Italy or from Greece or from whatever it was. So why is Klal Yisrael so focused on Eretz Yisrael? Why is that love always within us? Yan ki einzu eslenu l'umiyos k'moetz l'amim. And it's not just an idea of being of patriotism, of being proud of our nationality. That's not what it is. By the Goyim, some might say, you know, my great grandmother was French, so I still feel this loyalty to France because it's part of, you know, it's part of an, it's being a patriot of the country. But that's not what it is. It was only about being proud of our country, patriotism, as it were. So we don't forget it so long ago. I mean, 2,000 years is a long time. We've been through a lot. It wouldn't be in our minds anymore. When they offered us in 48 to go to Uganda, we've taken it. You know, we're going to Uganda. But we didn't want that. We wanted Eretz Yisrael. Kamu b'shara amim shigolos man rav meretz. Like any other nation that was sent to Galus from their land, it's long forgotten. Ava Ava Zutzliya beKedusha, but the Ava of Klai Yisrael, of Eretz Yisrael, is based in Kedusha. It's something innate in our hearts. Mihi Kedusha Shebaaretz Ahi. It's the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Shesam BaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem put there. Vosa Kedusha Devuka Banu Kirushi Nevashenu Meavino Avram. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is within us because of the Yerusha from Avram Avinu. That's where it comes from. It's because Avraham dropped everything to go to Israel. He ingrained in the depths of Klai Yisrael this love for Eretz Yisrael, because he dropped everything to go there, and he loved it, so we love it too. Shemaster nafsho lamod nesayon shelech lecha. He was moser nefesh in order to withstand the nesayon of lech lecha. V'zeh nesayon gadol meod. This is a very big test, and we later pamacheres nevar. We'll explain it at a different time. He says, but lech lecha was a very big test. So that's this is just giving two examples. You know, Avraham risked his life to be thrown into the fire or costume. Avraham did Lech Lecha, and therefore both of those different midos are ingrained in the nature of Klai Yisrael forever. And that's who we are, and that's what we do. Let's see another example. Vodcham, furthermore, this is all still from Chaim Volodin. The Kabbalas call the Avdin Mishmai Latav. So we have this concept we spoke about before. Everything Hashem does is for the good. All Hashem does is for the good. And again, the Jews seem to live by that mantra. Now, often we need to, unfortunately, because Klai Yisrael has been through very difficult times historically. But it's something that every Jew is able to live with and feel. And it's not easy, but it seems to be something which is innate in Klai Yisrael that we recognize. We try to see the good through struggles. So where did that come from? Nisayon harav. This comes from the fact that Avram Avinu had to go through the test of the famine. He gets there to Israel, and the first thing that happens is that he's starving. He's forced now to go to Mitzrayim to find food. So here are Acher Midosav Shekosh Baruch Hu, but Avram Avinu does not question Hashem. V'zeh Shemar Kosov Ki Shev Yipol Tzadik V'kam V'Rosh Yipol B'Achas. It says that a Tzadik can fall seven times and get up, and a Rosh will fall once and stay down. So what does that mean? Why can a tzaddik fall seven times and get up? Because he doesn't feel he fell. There's many different, very important pshatim in that pasuk, but he's saying a very interesting pshat. Shevibot tzaddik means that a tzaddik, he might fall, he doesn't even recognize that he's falling. So of course he gets up, because he didn't fall. He doesn't see it as bad. He doesn't see it as I have to get up, because it's all good. Whereas the... I skipped a line there. Because he gets up because it's not a problem. But Russia falls one time and he remains falling. He considers it a downfall. If a Russia falls, he calls himself, I've fallen, I failed, I am a failure, and he stays that way. He doesn't see it as anything of good. But a tzaddik always sees, even a downfall is also, it's good for him. Who can explain how far-reaching these ideas are? They're incredible. How could Klai Yisrael suffer so much historically and not despair? It's a very Jewish midah to always have hope. Even in the worst of times, Klai Yisrael is always hoping. We always speak about Mashiach. Even beyond that, we always know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there guiding us, helping us. Halo zuhi rak Yerusha Avos. This is the Yerusha from our Avos. Mevosteno Kadoshim Shkibu Hakobava. They dealt with all of their challenges with love, knowing that they're all for the good. And that's what, again, the hallmark of Klai Yisrael is, that when we suffer, we always have a lot of hope, we always have a lot of optimism, because that's the way we survive, and that's innate within us. Imtimsu Bihudi Shadayin Yeshbo Reach Shal Yerusha Avos. He says here a very fascinating thing. If you find a Jew that still has within them a little bit of a reyach, just a little breath, just a little bit of a whiff of being a child of the Avos, asher ya'abed es asmo ledas chas v'shalom, they would commit suicide. It means, unfortunately, we do find these things sometimes. But he's saying any Jew has within them just a little bit left of what the Avos gave to us, we never consider such a thing. Even if they've really suffered, they always say it's a kapara. No, my suffering is for a purpose, and therefore they're not going to think these terrible thoughts. And that's also from the Avos. No, the teacher of this principle was Rabbi Kiva's Rabbi Nachum Ish Gamzu. Nachum Ish Gamzu is somebody who said Gamzu Atova, and he's someone who suffered terribly. The Gemara describes his suffering. You know, he had amputated all of his limbs, and he was infected with, you know, all sorts of terrible pains. And he said Gamzu Atova. No, it's all for the good. Everything's for the good. Because our avos, they're able to acquire for themselves dveikus and spirituality. She dveikus al makor chayim, being able to cling to the source of life. Dveikus love is barach, clinging to Hashem. Uveagiyam lazei siu ki kol shirasa Hashem is barach. Afi mitzius sama panimis. They always understood that everything Hashem did, amaisim mahem ruchnim hema, everything has a spiritual cause. Uvechol of mashia ein mehem shum ra chashon, and nothing is bad from Hashem. Ki wulitzis shum ra mimenu is barach shum makor atov. Everything Hashem does for the good, no bad comes out of Hashem. It's just a matter of us understanding it. Even a small person, with our meager minds, we think they're bad. This is only because we only see it as a physical occurrence. We don't see the spiritual cause behind it. I mean, I guess our classic example of this is the Purim story. This is what the Purim story is all about, is that everything that looks bad really is for the good. The benefit we have in the Purim story is you get to see the end of it. You know, we don't see the end yet of our challenges. We go through challenges and we don't see Haman on the gallows at the end of the story yet. But that's what but that is true as well in life. Life is that all the challenges we have, if we keep on reading and we get to the end of the story, we're going to realize that all those challenges are actually all for the good. Just to skip I'm assuming the parentheses here, the last line. Someone who zocha to understand the depth of these words, and they understand a little bit of spirituality, mitziusam amitis, and their true existence. Yeda ki barhu bli shum safek, they know that it's clear. Shomase Hashem tovehim mikol tzad, Hashem's actions are always good. Veish bahem ach hashpas tov v'ches lebruim, it's just good for people. Vezei hasagash zachru chazal benachum ish gamzu, and this is Nachum Ish Gamzu, as we mentioned before. Nachum Ish Gamzu suffered terrible suffering, and he was able to say Gamzu Latova. Shemar kol davar afil mashenira Rabbi Yoser Gamzu Latova. He said about all, even no matter how bad it looked, Gamzu Latova. Perish Gamzu. So what does Gamzu mean? The word Gamzu. Also, this is good. Shenira lana la ra in the rab klal. Gamzu means also this that seems to be so terrible is not terrible at all. Eloshu tov mamish. It's absolute good. Ki tachliso tov, because its purpose is good. Va'arehu kamosha smechem b'nei adam b'nisuach asher etzliach v'yarape es ha'adam mechol yeshar chriso haya barok yu'adei ovid. Let's think about another mashal. So someone has a surgery. So if you were just to freeze the frame and look at a surgery, it looks terrible. Somebody's taking a knife, cutting into a person, it's painful. It could take weeks and weeks or months and months to recover, leave terrible scars behind. I mean, it seems to be a horrible thing. But we know that surgery is there to save a life, and now the person can live because they have the surgery. The surgery is an amazing thing. It's a chesed from Hashem. So we have to understand in life the challenges we have are a surgery, and it's in order to heal us. This is like a surgery, and even more than that. Let's try to get to the end of this section here. Koach ze kana lo Avram Avinu. So Avram Avinu was kona this koach, through his hard work and toil in his Zoros Hashem, Asher Amav Nisayon Shal Rav, he was able to handle the famine, Vod Kamatzaros Ein Domalahem, and other challenges that we can't even imagine. V'nofel Libo V'kirbo, and he never got down depressed. Ki Yada Baruch Asher Ach Tov Ches, he knew it was all Hashem's Chesed. Mituvo Shal Kishmas, all from Hashem's goodness. Ein Gul V'Kesa Tovasim, Hashem has unlimited good. Osher Gadol Hu Hazeh Hinchil Lanu Avinu, this is a great spiritual wealth that Abraham gave to us. So that's why Klal Yisrael has in themselves, innate within them, this trait that we are able to see the good through the challenges. That we don't fall after so much suffering. And I would say it's a good thing we have this, because Klal Yisrael wouldn't be able to tolerate all the suffering in Galus if we didn't have this Midah. How could we have handled all the difficult times if we weren't able to see that there was a positive hope coming out at the end? So this is a necessary meat for survival for Klal Yisrael. Asher nisbol zel feishan, we can handle suffering for 2,000 years. Because deep down we know, it's all for our own good. It's because we're going to have a future. And then we know that everything that happened to us, and we thought they're all terrible, terrible sorrows. That was all the zerakaya bechitzios, and this is all in the externals. That was all just on the facade. Hainu bilvusham, mashi chashavnum raos bemetzios, hainu kecholim. And it was like a dream. It wasn't like a dream. Shecholim bechalomo yidme shu metzios. When you're dreaming, you think things are real. When you're having a dream, you think what you're dreaming is reality. Ukeshenayer mishnah said, when you get up, yasig mihinechom, you really saw a dream. And it was all nothing. Uklumhu. So it's the same thing. He's saying upshot in Shir, we say Shir Malos on Shabbos. B'shuv Hashem es shiv asiyon hayinu kechomim. When Hashem returns us to Sion, in Mashiach's time, we'll be like dreamers. So one way to understand that is that it's like we're fulfilling our dreams. You can understand that that's the fulfillment of the dreams of Klal Yisrael to go back to Eretz Yisrael. But he's saying it's the other way around. We'll realize that all of the sorrows of Golos were merely a dream. And now we get to wake up and experience what the reality really is. And all the sorrows were there, they're all just temporary, they're all for a purpose, but that wasn't really bad, and it was all to bring us to this point. Aval be'emes achta v'chesed haya, it was good, like it says in Chazal, al pasuki nafalti kamti, ki eshe v'choshech Hashem orli. It says, when even though I fell, I rise up, when I sit in the darkness, Hashem's my light. And Chazal say, mitoch nefila kima, it's the falling that leads to the rising up. Mitoch hafil, it's the darkness that leads to the order to the light. Minzafam eze ish ben Yisrael, asher ata v'shel shegavar lino atzaros yosrim, asher v'meshech olim yegulosinu aruch v'hamar, Yisrael shmin rachamim. And if there's somebody out there in Klal Yisrael who does despair on the difficulties, v'yis'on amar gorolo, and complains about their terrible lot, to the point where Hashem, they think about suicide. This is a sign that this person, even though they're born Jewish, that person's cut off his connection to the Avos, because if you connect to the Avos, you can never have such thoughts. He's made himself as if he's no longer a child of Klal Yisrael. So there's the schus we get. I mean, he's going to explain much more. But we're bnei Avraham and Yaakov, Sarif Brachov Leah. We have all their great midos they had are within us, and we are fortunate that being that those things are innate within us, and it's easy for us to be able to accomplish their accomplishments. And even when things seem to be difficult, we know that we already have the benefit within ourselves of being connected with these midos. So I guess just to recap, we saw a lot today. We have this pasuk in Mishle, Mishalach Betumot Tzadik, a tzadik walks in his perfection, and fortunate are his children after him. And Chaim Volozhin explains because a parent's able to develop in themselves a midah, which then gets passed on to future generations. When you work on yourself, and you struggle, and you succeed, so then that struggle now is conquered, and your kids don't have to deal with that struggle initially. For them, overcoming is much easier. It gets passed down to all generations. And this we see from the Avos and Imos themselves. And as he went through Avraham's 10 tests, they weren't just test Avraham. They're so Avraham can make these accomplishments real, so that now in his children, those things are going to be natural. And that's the idea of Klal Yisrael, the Moser Nefesh Kedush Hashem, even the people who aren't religious will give up their lives for Hashem. It's the idea of the love we have for Eretz Yisrael, and the ability to drop everything and just go, despite all the difficulties involved. And also it's the ability to have hope and optimism during difficult times. This all came from the Avos and are passed on through us. Okay?
Interesting.